So, hello. I think that's my cue to start because the mic is now working clearly. Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone else to seminar stream B1, Recovery and Inclusion. My name is Maxine Radcliffe. I'm the lead nurse practitioner at Great Chapel Street. We have decided to mix this seminar up slightly. Wouldn't be right if we didn't really. One of my fabulous colleagues who's on the program, Nikki Tannett, is sadly unwell and unable to be here. So both myself and my colleague Amy Hall are going to deliver some slides about recovery in nursing and give you the opportunity to ask questions. So, but first of all, my fabulous colleague John Connolly, lead counsellor of the Westminster Homeless Health Counselling Service, who works in central London community healthcare, is going to talk about the nature of recovery and recovery co-constructed. So I'm going to hand over to John.
Can everybody hear me? Is that all right? Great. It's good to see so many people here. And what I'm going to talk about follows on quite nicely from what we heard this morning, which was that as a psychotherapist leading a small counselling service for homeless people, I find day in, day out, how overwhelmed people become through the constant struggle to meet basic needs. And people are so, tell me if I'm in the way, and people are so overwhelmed that the ability to think clearly, the ability to take responsibility, to make decisions, to behave according to the norms is impaired, is no longer possible. And this calls for what I call enhanced response. That unless services are capable of providing an enhanced response, or individual practitioners, key workers can provide an enhanced response, we will not connect with the people where they're at. And I think this is one of the major challenges for services and professionals. How do we respond in an enhanced way that is both safe and useful? Because it requires us going beyond our initial professional training. If we go beyond our initial professional training, how do we do so safely? How do we do so responsibly? And this is what I hope to cover today. I'm sure we all know of a cycle of exclusion where the services themselves, by not understanding the vulnerability behind the challenging behavior, inadvertently contribute further to the cycle of exclusion. This especially when we know there's a growing evidence base that up to 70% of single homeless people have personality disorder, or what I call a traumatized personality. That trauma was experienced as the personality was developing very early on, which leaves that person, that adult, with a trauma reaction. In the face of any challenge, of any situation that the person might be uncomfortable with or overwhelmed by, they will have a trauma reaction, which to us, who aren't having trauma reactions, to us, the trauma reaction will seem completely out of proportion to the situation. And that's the tragedy, that a trauma reaction is not comprehensible for most people, which then obviously leads to further exclusion. A trauma reaction, unfortunately, unless it's dealt with appropriately, escalates It does not return to the status quo. It does not self-balance. It will escalate. And because of that escalation, obviously A&D attendance is very high. As I was saying, by failing to recognize the trauma response, we can inadvertently contribute to further exclusion. As I was saying, I'm a psychotherapist. When I trained many, many years ago, I was presented with a picture of the ideal patient. And in those days, people who were homeless were not deemed to be able to make use of counseling or psychotherapy services because it was thought they would be under too much pressure. Because of the pressure to survive on a daily basis, counseling would not be helpful for them. This is how I was trained. So, the perfect counseling patient or person, client, in those days was somebody who would not be in a crisis, who would not be addicted to anything, who would be able to maintain and develop a relationship, who would be able to come regularly at the appointed times, you know where I'm going, etc., etc. This, of course, flies in the face of our experience, day in, day out. So what does a professional, with those expectations, what does a service, what does a mental health service with those expectations does in the face of a client group who cannot adhere to those expectations? And this is where, of course, we have the need for an enhanced response. We cannot sit back and rely on the traditional normative response. So, of course, when I first started, as all of us, I'm sure, know, have experienced, people would not attend their appointments. People would become incredibly agitated. People would want to be my best friend and also then make threats to me. People do not fit the norm. Tell me if I'm going too fast. I know there's quite a lot on those slides. And can you see, am I in the way of, yeah? Okay. In response, I found myself naturally validating and empathizing with people a lot more. I would have to step from behind my professional mask. I would have to be a human being who could feel the pain in front of me, who wanted to do something about that pain, and who was happy to let the person know that. Very unprofessional as when I was trained, which was many years ago. I found out I had to be much more transparent about my thinking, about my decisions. I would explain things a lot more. I found that I had to suspend my judgment. The experiences I was told about were so far away from the experiences I'd had in my own life and journey that I had to suspend judgment. I would liaise with other workers, with other services. I would become an interpreter, almost an advocate. I would be more flexible about non-attendance. I would be more flexible about the duration of a session. I would follow that person's attention span rather than a traditional normative 15 minutes. I would be much more in tune with the person and what they could deal with at that particular moment in time. I would see people who were mildly to moderately intoxicated. As long as I felt that they could gain something from the interaction, that would not be a criteria for exclusion. Also, I would tailor the service provided to the level of need. Some people would be making a recovery, and then suddenly a crisis would strike. Maybe an assault, maybe a bereavement, something would come out of the blue, that person would be right back in a crisis. Instead of the weekly sessions, maybe they would have two or three sessions for maybe 2 or 3 weeks, just to get them through that crisis. So again, there's something about tailoring the service to the individual and to that individual's needs. All the time, however, I would be aware that I was doing very unusual things, that I was going beyond my training. It's what I and my colleagues came to call the professional superego. We would have another me on our shoulders saying to us, are you sure you're doing the right thing? Oh, this wasn't how you were trained, you know. Oh, what about quality assurance and all of these things? Are you bringing in your own personal agenda here? And there's this constant dialogue, which is good, because it has to be there. We have a human response, but we have to have a safeguard that it's a useful human response, that it's an appropriate human response. So we had to live with a professional superego. And that's where we found the distinction between boundary crossing and boundary violation really, really useful. Because in counseling and psychotherapy, it's all about boundaries. It's all about limits. It's all about each other respecting one's limits. But we... 5 minutes, right? I'm running out of time, so I'm talking about an enhanced response and what it required as a counsellor and as a counselling service. Thank God there are conceptual frameworks now which are emerging to make sense of the enhanced response. So there's a pre-treatment approach which is gaining more and more ground. It started in the States and it's spreading throughout the world. I won't go into the principles because I know I have very little time left. And I'll just go on to a conclusion in that an enhanced response can occur at very different levels. At the practitioner level, where supervision, clinical supervision, is fundamental in order to make sure that the professional superego is doing its job. Also, of course, experts by experience are an invaluable resource in helping tailor a service's response, enhanced response. At a service level, there's a session later on today on psychologically informed environments, which is a very exciting development. I'm sure you've all heard something about that. And of course, at an institutional level, the faculty itself, the guidelines it published several years ago. It's very keen to develop a specialist curriculum with University of Brighton. I understand now possibly with University of Middlesex. So there are much more institutional frameworks kicking into place. And of course, at a government level, in terms of personality disorder, there's the Knowledge and Understanding Framework, which was a national training program. And why not? It might be possible one day to have a national training program, government-sponsored, on homeless health. Thank you very much. Thank you.